little bit of turning tonight. I'm going to let you be seated and just remain seated. I told you that I intend throughout the course of October, maybe not every service, but in a number of the services, to deal with some things in regard to missions and our responsibility. Now, I hope and my prayer is that through the course of this month, we will get into some things that will be helpful, challenging, and maybe enlightening for some. Maybe some things that you've never considered in regard to missions. But as with anything, we've got to start with what we know, kind of the foundation, and move forward, right? And so tonight, don't turn me off just because you think, well, I've heard these things before, because we're going somewhere with this. We really are. And so just follow me, all right? So we're in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says this, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, this isn't a parable per se, like you think of when you think of, you know, the parables of Jesus, but there's a sense in which this is somewhat of a parable or an illustration, because Jesus is referring to a particular work as a harvest field. But we understand that the work that he's referring to is not a physical field in nature, right? It is a spiritual field of souls. And so he's talking about these people, and he says that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, I think everybody kind of gets that concept, but let's just clarify exactly what Jesus is talking about. In all five of the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the book of Acts, which is kind of a continuation of the Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles. In all five of those books, we find that Jesus gives a commandment, a specific command that we know as the Great Commission. All right, that commandment is to, in Matthew 28, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, that commandment to go and teach all nations literally means to make disciples. Now, I understand this is not a translation correction. I'm not saying that that would have been better translated. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this: the word teach implies more than just tell them about Jesus, because he goes on and says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So what he's actually telling them to do is to go and reproduce themselves in other people. To go and win other people to faith in Christ, but don't stop there. Teach them to go and do the same, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. All right, so that's Matthew 28. Now, Mark 16 is a little bit different. Mark 16, verse 15, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, there's a distinction there. Because in Matthew 28, in every nation, we are to be winning people to Christ and teaching them to observe, making these disciples. We would say planting churches, right? Because that's kind of the outflow of this. That's supposed to happen in every nation. But every creature, every individual, every soul is to hear the gospel. We're to go and preach the gospel to every creature. All right, so all nations, we're to be doing this work, but we need to be very specific and trying to reach every single person in that place. Luke chapter 24 says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in all places, in all nations in the world. In John chapter 20, in verse 21, Jesus said, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And so he's telling them, you're to go and do the work that I started. And then we come over to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, and he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So in all five of those books, we have a commandment, although the instructions are slightly different, not contradictory, but it kind of fills in the gaps, right, as we compare Scripture with Scripture. All five places, Jesus basically said this. Here's what you're to do. You're to take what you've been given, the gospel, and you are to go everywhere in the world, and you are to proclaim the gospel to every person in the entire world. And then those that believe are to be baptized, and you are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, I want to just kind of clarify that that's what we're talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. Do you understand the amount of work that goes into that I just described? I mean, think about this. We're not just talking about preaching the gospel to every person in the world. That in itself is an enormous task. That's a huge task. How can I even do that? But I'm not just supposed to do that. I'm also supposed to be about the business of actually taking people who receive Christ and discipling them and teaching them and developing them. And that's like a lifelong thing. And how do I do that with every person that is in the world? And yet, it's important for us to clarify and to know this. This is the responsibility of every Christian and every church in the world. This is what God gave us to do. We are not to be a social club where we just kind of come together, hang out, enjoy each other's company and fellowship, study the Word together. I mean, those are great things, but that's actually not, we are not fulfilling our purpose in life if that's all we do. Our purpose is to go and take this to other people. That's your job. This is the mission of churches. It is the mission of Christians. The furtherance of the gospel and the multiplication of believers. Now, again, I know you say, I've heard this before. I know these things. And yet I want you to think about this for a moment. Every year, now we do this throughout the year to some degree, but every year especially in the month of October, we emphasize this and we kind of shine a spotlight on it to try to encourage people and kind of stir people up in regard to our responsibility in this area. So much of what we're doing tonight and we'll be doing throughout the rest of the month, we did just a year ago, just 12 months ago. But I want you to think about this. 1 year ago today, the world's population was 8,126,000,000 people. 8,126,000,000. This year, it is over 8.2 billion. Which means that we have seen in the last year a population growth. Since our last missions emphasis month, we have seen a growth in the need in the harvest field of over 74 million souls. Think about that for a moment. That's about over 20% of the population of this country. 74 million more than last year. But wait, there's more. Just like the infomercials at midnight, you know. But wait, there's more. Because that doesn't account for the fact that in that 12 months, there's 74 million new souls that have been added, but about 62 million passed into eternity. Now let me ask you, since last October, how many people have you reached with the gospel? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We talk about these numbers. I always find it fascinating. Of course, in the news right now, we're hearing a lot of things about the government shutdown and, you know, all of these debates between, you know, budgets and spending. And it amazes me how politicians can throw out these numbers. Oh, you know, $5 billion, $100 billion. I mean, it's like, do we realize how many that is? When we talk about the world's population, 8.2 billion. Do we understand the gravity of that? Okay, I want some interaction here just because I find this stuff fascinating. The difference between a million and a billion, I know that everybody kind of understands, okay, it's one billion is 1,000 millions. That's a lot. But follow me on this. If I were to say 1 million seconds, 1 million seconds, how long do you think 1 million seconds is? Does anyone have an idea, roughly? Caleb? Not quite. He said 21 days. Not quite. Anyone else? 1 million seconds is about 11 and a half days. Okay, so 11 and a half days, that's less than 2 weeks. A week and a half, well, roughly, a little more than a week and a half. 1 million seconds. Does anyone know how long 1 billion seconds is without a calculator, Joseph, or a pen and a pencil, pen and paper? Silas? A month? No. Gideon? 2 months? No. Caleb? 31 and a half years. That's a lot. The difference between 1 million and a billion, we're talking big numbers. That's what I'm getting at here. Big time numbers. So when I say 8.2 billion people, you're like, yeah, sounds like a lot. No, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And when we look at that need, it's like, how in the world could we possibly accomplish the task that God has given to us? I mean, 8.5 billion people, 8.2 billion people. This is crazy. Yet Jesus said, go and do this. Now here's a question. Does God command us to do things that are impossible to do? I would propose to you tonight that it is not impossible. That if God told us to do this thing, that He has also given us the resources to be able to do that. Now, how? How could this be done? Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy 2, we're given this statement. Paul is commanding Timothy, and he says this. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, that's one of those verses that you could read and just kind of, you know, just kind of pass over it. And okay, that's interesting. And but think about this. This is actually kind of a framework here. He says, the things that thou hast heard of me. So Paul taught Timothy, and he said, the same commit thou to faithful men. So Timothy, I taught you, I want you to teach others. But he didn't say stop there. He said, who shall be able to teach others also? So the idea is take what you've been given and multiply. And here's what I really want to challenge you about tonight. And we're going to use some numbers just to kind of get this in our mind that God actually has given to us a pattern and a plan that is absolutely feasible to accomplish what he told us to do. So here's what he said. You've received it. Commit that to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I want to say to you tonight that if our focus in the advancement of the Great Commission, in the advancement of the gospel, if our focus is to win the world by addition, we will never get there. We will never get there. If, however, we follow the Bible principle of multiplication, that is, not only I am supposed to go and win other people, but I am supposed to go and win other people and then teach them to go and do the same so that they go and teach others to do the same and they go and teach others to do the same, that if I will follow that Bible pattern, that God's command can absolutely be obeyed. So let me just talk to you for a moment about the power of multiplication. I think I've probably used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it again because I think it is a perfect illustration. All right, if somebody were to offer you a job for 1 month, 30 days, you come and work for me for 30 days, and you have two options on your compensation. You can either be paid $1,000 for every day for 30 days, or I'll pay you a penny the first day, and then I'll double it each day. So the second day would be 2 cents, the third day would be 4 cents, and so on. Which of those sounds more appealing to you? The first one sounds more appealing, doesn't it? I mean, $1,000 a day. Okay, that's a lot of money. However, by the end of the month, if you chose the $1,000 per day, you would be very disappointed. Because if you instead chose the one penny per day doubled, does anyone know how much money you would have at the end of the month? Gideon? No, more than 30 cents, because every day it doubles, right? So the first day you get one penny, second day you get two, third day you get four, fourth day you get eight, and so on and so forth. Does anyone know? You're closer. It's over $10 million. It's over $10 million. You can do the math on it yourself. Here's the amazing thing. It takes you most of that month just to get caught up to the first guy who's getting $1,000 a day. But what happens is near the end of that month, all that money doubling, guess what? It starts to actually make a difference. And so, okay, $30,000, that's nothing to sneeze at, but compared to $10 million, now we have a major discrepancy and difference. What's the difference? Addition versus multiplication. Now, why do I use that example? Well, because I want to encourage you that there is power in just one voice, if it's used correctly. That if you, let's take that same principle and apply it to the gospel and say, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that God would give me one person this year, one person that I could lead to Christ, and then disciple them to go and do the same. And then next year, I'm going to take one, and then they're going to go and find one, and we're going to do the same thing. And then year three, there's going to be four of us doing this, Year four, there's going to be eight of us doing this, and we're just going to work just one person per year. Lord, just give me one person per year that I can invest in. If you would apply that principle, does anyone know how long it would take? Well, let me back up for just a moment. Following the same illustration, let's say that we sent out a missionary. One of the most effective missionaries that you had ever heard of, because this person goes to whatever mission field they go to, and God enables them to literally win 1,000 people per day to Christ. 365 days a year, I mean, Christmas, everything, you know, 365 days a year, 1,000 people a day, every year, 365,000 people being saved. If that was what they did, how long do you think it would take them to reach? If we could just freeze the population, no more growth, no more people dying, but at the current population, 8.2 billion, we're winning 1,000 people a day to Christ. How long would it take to reach the world? Does anyone know? Guess? I'll give you the number. 22,465.75 years. If you're winning 1,000 people to Christ a day, 22,465.75 of a year. That's a lot of lifetimes. And that's with a frozen population. No more growth, no more death, just trying to reach the people who are here. Over 22,000 years at 1,000 people per day. Does that sound possible? I mean, who can win 1,000 people a day? Truly win them to Christ. Like, it's not going to happen. However, if we follow the first approach, and we said one person per year. Year one, it's just me and one other person. I win them, disciple them. Year two, it's the two of us. Year three, it's four of us. Year four, it's eight of us. And every year, we're just doubling it because we're each just reaching one person. Anyone know how long it would take to reach 8.2 billion people that way? Guess? 40 years. 40 years. Now, 40 years is a long time. Biblically speaking, it's a generation. Isn't that interesting? That by the method that God has given us to reach the world, if we would apply that, now I understand, not everybody's going to be saved. Many will not. But do you see how it goes from being an absolutely untenable task to something that is absolutely within reach? If we simply follow the Bible principle of multiplication, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. By the way, I encourage you, take these numbers I'm giving you and put them to the calculator and find it. Find out. 8.2 billion divided by 365,000. 22,465. That's how many years by addition at 1,000 people per day. But by multiplication, 40 years. Now, understanding this and contrasting the approach, I want you to think about this because I'm actually going somewhere with this. Most of the time, when we think of evangelism and missions, we are thinking in terms of addition. That being specifically, our goal is to get the maximum number of people saved possible. The problem is that the goal is not just to get them saved. That's not the goal. The goal is to reproduce ourselves and be winning people who are going to go and win other people. And so we often look at it and we think, well, how can we get the most people saved? And here's what ends up happening, okay? And please don't misunderstand me. This is not a criticism, but it is a challenge to our thinking, our thought process. Most Christians feel like they have done their job in the furtherance of the gospel by inviting someone to come to church. Now, I'm not against you inviting people to come to church. But here's where that mentality comes from. If I can get them to come through the doors of the church house and sit and listen to the preaching, then maybe God, through the pastor, can get that person to a place where they understand their need and get saved. And for every time that happens, praise the Lord. But the goal is not just to fill the seats in here. That's not our goal. And most of the time, when that is our approach, essentially what we end up doing is we end up reaching people who are very ineffective in reaching other people. Because they don't really know evangelism other than invite them to church. And I would even go so far as to contend that when you look in Scripture, the gathering of the church is not primarily an evangelistic event. We preach the gospel here. I want people to be saved. We give invitations. I encourage people. If you're not saved, you need to get this settled. Let's do that. That's not why we meet, though. This meeting is for what? The edifying of the body, the equipping of the saints, the preparation for ministry, because actual ministry and actual evangelism takes place outside of these four walls. And so as we go out into the community and we reach people that we know, and then we disciple them, guess what happens? They learn, hey, this is what we're supposed to do. This is what's normal. I'm going to go and reach someone else. We're not just reproducing people that come and sit in the chairs of church, but we're actually reproducing more evangelists, more people reaching the lost. And I want to remind you that you can do this. God wants to use you for this job. And He will give you the ability to do that if you're willing. Let me also say this. Because when you see the difference between addition and multiplication, you see there's a vast, I mean, we're not talking a slight difference and, oh, there's a little bit of an advantage. We're talking about the difference between accomplishing the task or not. That's the difference we're talking about. Then when we consider missionaries for mission support, this is a principle I want them to understand. Now, they don't have to have all the numbers, but I want them to understand that their job is to reproduce themselves. And can I maybe sound a little critical for a few moments here? The majority of missionaries that I have known and seen over the years have tunnel vision for the addition, and they miss the multiplication. When their goal is one place, one church. A lot of missionaries, they go, they're sent, and really, essentially, all they really do is kind of go and pastor a church on the foreign field. And listen, I'm not against pastors. I kind of like them. I know one in particular I really like. But when we're involved in the work of missions, the goal isn't, hey, let's go send someone over to a foreign field who can pastor for 30 years over there and support them that whole time because that church won't be able to support them. Like, I'm thankful for anything that God has done through that. I'm thankful for every soul that's been saved. I'm thankful for every church that's been planted. But let's just be real and recognize that we've seen a lot of those, that model that when the missionary is no longer able to be there, they leave, and that church, if it continues at all, is not very effective in going and reaching others. The difference, though, when we get behind a missionary who is focused on reproduction, you'll find, you can hear the difference in even the way that they view their ministry. Rather than talking about a location or a church or services that they're holding, they're talking about people, individuals, that they are winning and discipling and that are going and doing the same. And I'm telling you, there is a vast difference in the effectiveness of that missionary over the others. Now, I'm not trying to downplay anything that God has done in anyone's life or through their ministry. I'm not trying to be critical tonight, but I am trying to just lift our eyes a little bit and say, okay, Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. And in his word, he's given to us a plan for how we're going to do this thing, how we are supposed to approach the harvest fields. And I believe that if we will apply the principles that God has given to us, we're going to find a whole lot more fruit in the long run, to where the harvest field isn't as big a place as maybe we thought it was. It is plenteous, and the laborers are few. Tonight I want to challenge you in this. Are you willing to be part of the work? The good news is you don't have to win 1,000 people a day to Christ. Okay, if that was the benchmark, I would have quit and given up a long time ago. But if you'll just pray and say, Lord, give me one soul. Give me one person that I can reach. And then disciple them. Train them. And encourage them to go and do the same. By the way, Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Okay, so Jesus, the Father sent Jesus to go reach people. And then he sent them, just like the Father sent him, and said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So in that observance of all things, what, there's another element of that, go and do thou likewise. There's a constant reproduction that's to be taking place. So, okay, Lord, would you enable me to be part of this work in some small way? Just a small way. One person. Give me one soul. Now, by the way, here's another little tidbit that you may or may not have considered. I told you it would take 40 years following that method, one person per year, doubling every year. But look around you tonight. There's more than one of us. So we already have a leg up on this thing. If we would all just get involved in the work, what could God do? What could God do? What could God do with you if you just said, Lord, I'll be the one? And maybe that'll be right here in St. Clair. Or Sullivan, or Union, or Washington, or wherever. Maybe that's where God will have you. Dittmer, Lowndell. And maybe he'd tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, this harvest field, it has a few laborers. There's more need, for sure. But you see that part of the harvest field over there? There's nobody over there. And maybe he'd say to you, why don't you go over there and do it? And I just want to challenge you to pre-surrender. What do I mean by that? Volunteer yourself. That doesn't mean that you're saying, okay, I'm going to this place. Here's what I want to encourage you. Yield yourself. Say, Lord, whatever part of this harvest field you want me in, sign me up. I'm on board. And if every one of us would get deployed in the work of not, oh, this monumental task, but just, Lord, help me to reach one or two or three people that I can then reproduce, and they can go and do the same. And Lord, help us to follow your command and be part of the harvest with you. So I plan to challenge you in that regard further as the month goes on, but I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to say, Lord, I want to be one of the number to obey you and your command? God's given us a command. It's very weighty. It's a huge task, but he's given us the answer in how to do it. And if we will follow his plan, we can see the accomplishment of that goal.